Open your Bible with me to 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20. Let me tell you the story. There was an old greedy man in a town who could care less for anyone except his own richness, his own rich, and he will do anything to get richer at any cost. Nobody liked him, but nobody dared to say anything to him because he pretty much owned all the business in town. So one day, the new pastor of the only church in that town chose to talk with him about his greed since his wife attend his church. So he asked him to join him for a cup of coffee. The old man reluctantly accepted the invitation, and he came, and they start with a small, kind of shallow talk. And pretty soon, pastor told him about his greed and how much he troubled other people because his covetousness. It seems that the conversation was not going anywhere because he just insisted he is not greedy at all. Finally, the Lord spoke to the pastor's heart, and so he led the old man to the window where they could see the children playing in the church playground. So pastor asked the old man, "What do you see?" The old man was kind of irritated because it has an obvious answer. So he said, "Well, I see children outside playing in the playground." "Okay, very well. Now follow me." And he led him to the full-length mirror on the office wall. "Now, what do you see?" He got more irritated because, again, it's an obvious answer. So I said, "Well, I see myself." And the pastor stepped back and looked at him square in the eyes. He said, "You know, window pane and the mirror are made of the same glasses. One is covered with the silver. Now you only see yourself." Did you get that? It is normal. It's a common thing for people to feel that way. When the money is involved, all of a sudden they don't see anybody else except themselves. Greed is a silent killer. It consumes a person, and greed is an insatiable desire for more, more money, more power, more prestige. The greedy heart is never satisfied. This explains why the love of money is the root of all evil. Bible never said that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. Because when the person craves for more money, then he will commit any sin to satisfy that craving. He's already broken first two commandments of the Ten Commandments. This person is having money as God and money as his idol. It is a simple step to steal, lie, cheat, commit adultery, take God's name in vain, and so on. This is exactly what Gehazi, the servant of Prophet Elisha, did. And that's what we are going to see here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your mercy endures forever, and your kindness shines through the darkness of this world. Your love knows no bound, and your faithfulness reaches to heaven. You teach us to be righteous, holy, and loving as you are. But our sinful nature gets in the way. We want you to make us be more like Jesus, who willingly submit himself to you in every way. Let your Holy Spirit fill our heart with wisdom to understand what you store for us this morning. We also pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may do what is right in your sight rather than what pleases himself or his own party. We also pray for our troops around the world. And we lift up the uniformed personnel around this community, firefighters, law enforcement personnel, and border patrols, agents. We are asking you to put the hedge of protection around them and keep them safe. And we're especially lifting up the Merrill Simon as he fights against this wildfire. And you keep him and his crew safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to the verse 20, please. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So let's recap what we learned the last time. The Syrian general, Naaman, he was a leper. And so he came to Israel to be healed from this leprosy because he heard a story about Elijah, the man of God. So he came, and Elijah did not even go see him. And he sent the message to this general through a servant, and go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, then you will be healed. At the beginning, he reluctantly obeyed and went into Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times. When he came out, his skin was as good as a baby's skin. He was healed, completely healed. In a gratitude, he went back to Elijah, the prophet, and offered him what he brought, about $2 million worth of gold and silver and designer suits. It doesn't say, but that's my paraphrase. Anyway, the prophet said, "No thanks, hombre. I don't need your money." Because to him, it was freely given to him, so he freely gave to the Syrian general. However, Gehazi had a different thought. Gehazi could not believe what he just heard. His master, Elisha, refused to receive this generous offer from the Syrian general. He could not let this golden opportunity pass by him. So he had to do something, but not for Elisha, but for himself. Note one very important thing here that Gehazi didn't do. He did not consult with Elisha because he knew what Elisha would say. The reason why he didn't do it is because he knew that he wanted to keep all the reward for himself, not with Elijah. Once greed kicks in our heart, we can rationalize just about everything to get what we want. It's the first step of compromise that leads us to destruction. Once we start to rationalize, there's no limit. Jesus clearly told us about the greed and covetousness. Keep your finger in 2 Kings. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Are you there yet? He said to him, "Take heed, be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of the things he possesses." One's life does not consist with abundance of the things he possesses. Let's have an analysis of the greed. This is very important for us to understand. Greed has more faces, many faces. Should I say many disguises? But at the end of the day, greed is simply covetousness. unhealthy hunger for more, to get more, and whether ethically or otherwise. The temptation toward greed comes at us in just about every area of our lives. Financially, of course, that's talking about money. Materially, talking about possession. And socially, talking about power and fame. And physically, mainly for sexual pleasure. Just look at the lives of the corrupt Washington, D.C. politicians, whether they are Democrat or Republican. They are so power-hungry people, power-mongers, literally. What about those people in the Wall Street, the corporate executives, and they are making $2 million just for the bonus, and they said more? And how about the rich and famous in Hollywood? I heard the news that the one actress in Hollywood asked for $3 million for 3 days' work. I don't think anybody's that good. The real danger begins in how greed comes at us. How greed comes at us. Subtly. It comes very subtly. You don't just become a green, envious animal monster. You look exactly the same, but you start to think different. I start to think different. Whether you are in the position of rich or poor, and greed does not know the race, age, sex, education, intelligence, or cultural background. Three things we must notice about greed. First one is that people with greed do not care about others. I haven't seen anyone who is a greedy person who wants to help other people. Greedy person always care for themselves. To fill their bottomless pit, note that word, please. I put that word supposedly there. Bottomless pit of greed, they will do anything, including lying in a heartbeat. Second thing I need you to understand is once they start their lives to fulfill their greed, they will justify their means any way they want. Now, this is what we call rationalizing. They start to believe in their own lies. And when they get offended, when someone dares to call them dishonest. Have you ever met somebody? I'm sure you could have come up with a few names. They lie so much, they're literally living in their own fantasy lie. And when you tell them that's a lie, and they get upset because they've been confronted. Third thing I want you to notice is that people with greed never think about what would happen when they get caught from their deception. They never think about what if I get caught. See, greed blinds people. Greed blinds people, and yes, greed is a silent killer. Let's move down to verse 21, please. So Gehazi pursued Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" Verse 22 said, he said, "All is well." Would you put the number one there? "My master has sent me." Elijah did not send him. And number two, saying, "Indeed, just now," that's number two. Elijah didn't tell him anything. Number three, "Two young men of the sons of prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim." Nobody came. Number four, "Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments." Elijah never asked him to do that kind of thing. Verse 23, "So the Naaman said, please take two talents, and he urged him to bound two talents of silver in two bags and with two changes of garments. Hand them to two of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from his their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let them go, and they departed. I'm sure when the Naaman told him to take the 2 talents, probably it was like forcing him to get it. And I'm sure the Gehazi did not mind at all. When a person's heart is filled with greed, his or her lips are filled with lies. That person cannot enjoy peace of God. Anyone whose their heart is filled with a lie and this greed and covetousness cannot enjoy the peace of God. Note how what a noble thing Naaman, this Syrian general, did. He got off from his chariot to greet a Jewish servant. General would not do that. The reason why he had that kind of heart is because his heart was changed. At the beginning, he was a prideful Syrian general. But now, he is a humble believer of God of the universe. So his heart was changed. In carrying out his evil, deceptive plan, Gehazi not only used God's name in vain, but he also used God's work as a cloak of covetousness. He used God's name in vain. He did not use God's name as a cuss word, but he used God's name as a tool to deceive others. Within one comment, he concocted 4 lies back to back. Folks, that's what happens when our heart is filled with covetousness and greed. As I said before, nothing matters. We can lie after lie. Out of his grateful heart to Elisha, Naaman insisted 2 talents of silver. What is the amount of the 2 talents of silver? Somewhere around 150 pounds. Silver. And having to carry these things for him with the 2 of his servants. Gehazi knew that he was doing wrong. How do I know? Because he hid the silver and the clothing in the house before he went to see Elisha. Let's see how Elisha handled this. Verse 25. Now he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Sounds like a kid lying, right? And he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot and to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, the olive groves, and the vineyard, and sheep, and oxen, male and female servant? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." He went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. See, acting very innocent, Gehazi went and stood before his master Elisha, awaiting orders. But he did not realize he's facing trials. Gehazi forgotten that nothing is hidden from the sight of God. Again, keep your finger. No, let's just go to the Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. "There is no creature hidden from his sight, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give count." Don't ever think that we can hide something from God. I don't know where you are with pornography. I'm hoping that none of you struggle with the pornography. You might have the clicking things, the visiting internet web, porno website. 30% of a website around the world belongs to a porno website. 30%. Before, you have to look both ways before you walk into those adult bookstore or the strip joint. Now you can click, you can enter. Or you might have stashed away some horrible porno magazines somewhere in the garage without your wife's knowing or your parents knowing. Or nobody knows. Or maybe your friend don't know. But God knows. There's nothing hidden from the sight of God. Whatever we do in the secret chamber of our home or wherever, that's open scandal in heaven. We cannot hide anything from God. God gave a word of knowledge to Elisha that, so that he would not only know what the servant did, also he knew why he did and what he was in his heart. Gehazi longed to be a wealthy man. He wouldn't be content with serving God and serving Elisha. He wanted security and comfort. Now, he would not have any one of those. God judged Gehazi by giving him the leprosy of Naaman and promising that his descendant would be a leper forever. Covetousness that ate his heart turned into leprosy to eat his flesh. Gehazi hoped to leave a great wealth to his descendant, but now he's giving them shame and sorrow for the rest of their eternal life. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Listen carefully, please. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being wealthy. Okay? There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having money. But the problem starts when the money have us. Okay? Nothing wrong with having money, but when the problem starts when money have us. There are many wealthy people in the Bible. Isaac, Abraham, Job, King David, King Solomon. They're all extremely wealthy. But it's wrong when the wealth get through the deceit and make the wealth our God. When we make our wealth our God, that's the problem start. Gehazi used the ministry God gave him as a means of deceiving Naaman and Elisha that's contrary to God's will. I must say this, there are still a lot of Gehazi on TVs. Some of the Christian TV evangelists will use their ministries to gain wealth at any cost. That's wrong. I said this before, but I'll say it again. Money makes a great servant. Money makes a great servant, but it makes horrible slave master. Because the money is, if the money is your high goal, the things you long to gain and its power will enslave you and your soul and cause your life much pain, just like this Gehazi. So let's extend our thought from there to the different area. You may say, well, I'm not greedy, so this study must belong to somebody, some miser or penny pinchers. If so, let me ask you this. Do you tithe? Do you tithe? And some of you are thinking, I just came to church, and I get to hear about this money thing. Let me ask you another question. How often do I talk about money? How often do I talk about money? Do I talk about money as often as a televangelist? No, I do not. I talk about money when the text brings the money issue. If you don't tithe, there's three things going on in your life. Number one, unbelief, greed, and disobedience. Unbelief, greed, and disobedience. It is your unbelief because you're holding on to money for that rainy days and you're not trusting God to take care of you who created heaven and earth and everything in the universe. It is your disobedience if you don't tithe because you're told numerous times throughout the Bible to tithe. Those who do not tithe try to excuse that, well, we are living in the age of grace. New Testament never talks about that we should tithe. You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. But at the same time, you left one thing. Everything belongs to God. If that's the case, shouldn't you give everything to God? There is no place in the New Testament speak against tithe or forbid tithe. Find me one place. I will apologize. I will even give you $100. If I can find one. The 10%, that's what we call tithe. And some people say, is tithe means 10%? Really 10%? It's not a 2%? We are not trying to negotiate with God. Tithe means 10% of our income, but that 10% is designated to give it back to God. Do you understand? Do you understand? Okay. It's not for God that He needs money. The main point is to grow our faith. To grow our faith. And you may say, what's the tithe got to do with growing faith? If you need this much money to survive and you take the 10% off, that means you have a less amount to live. That means you have to trust God with this amount that God would somehow provide for you. That's why. We should never ever think that God needs our puny wallet or checking account. He owns the universe. He can make whatever He wants and He needs come to existence. Tithing is totally for our faith to believe in our faith, His faithfulness and provision. Do you understand that? Tithe is not for Him. Tithe is for us. Let's repeat that thing together. Tithe is not for God. Tithe is for us to grow our faith. Since there is a clear commandment from the God to tithe throughout the Bible, when we don't, we become disobedient. When we don't, we become disobedient. Some of you might think that, okay, I will tithe, so just shut up. If you feel that way, if you become a reluctant giver, God says otherwise. God says, be a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, please. So let each one give as he proposed in his heart. Note the word propose in his heart. Not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves what? Cheerful giver. So let me make it very clear to you. If you are a reluctant giver and you feel forced to tithe, you come see Jerry Hamby. Raise your hand, please. He's our treasurer. He will cut your check. We will give you money back. Okay? If you feel that we are forcing you to tithe to this church, we'll give you money back. God doesn't want your money, nor do we want it. God wants cheerful giver, willing heart. How would you like to, if majority of you married, you said to your spouse, I love you, and she doesn't say anything, he doesn't say anything, so you do this, twist arms like, say I love you. Does it feel good to you if you have to force that person to say, I love you? Doesn't mean anything, does it? When we bring our tithes to God, it's our trust for His faithfulness and His provision. Here is what I bring to you, the designated for your work, for your kingdom, used for your glory. And God will bless you for it. It may not be, you know, I will never say to you that God will give you back 100%. No, I will not say that. God will bless you for it. How? That's not my problem. I'm glad I'm not God. God will take care of the things, what you need. His promise, He will meet all our needs, not one, according to His riches and glory. So, how do we fight back against the greed? How do we fight back against greed? Being content. That's the key word. Being content and being thankful for what we have from the Lord. The verse we memorized, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Remember that one we just memorized? Now, the godliness with the contentment is great gain. Godliness with the contentment is great gain. Here's the things we need to apply in our lives. Number one, don't let your imagination grow into greed. Don't let your imagination grow into greed. Same creativity that helps us to dream the dream, wonderful dreams, can turn into horrible nightmare when we use it for our greed. We need to remember our roles and remember what is the godly and wise, not just available. Second application we can see here is don't let your rationalization harbor greed in our heart. Don't let your rationalization harbor greed in our heart. Folks, rationalization is art of self-delusion. We can talk ourselves into intensifying our covetousness and remove any constraint of the inappropriate process. However, it's a delusion we can only practice in private. Did you get that? Delusion can only be made in private, not out in open. That's why the accountability is so important and to expose the sins. As soon as we begin to feel anxious about others knowing our intention and motivation, we are much closer to sin than we realize. If you think that you are anxious to get something and make that way to your own goal, and you doing it is so hard in private without anybody's knowing, guess what? We are very much close to sin. Third application, don't let your heart get comfortable with deception. Don't let your heart become comfortable with a deception. If we can lie to ourselves, we can lie to others very easily. Even those who are close to us. We must determine to keep all of our actions above reproach. That's the key word, folks, above reproach. Out in open, examine our motives, and when we feel the greed in our heart, call it what it is. It's greed, covetousness. Self-examination runs contrary to our nature, and especially when we are under the influence of temptation. As the Lord revealed the truth about your motive. Let's go to Psalm 139, please. 139. Verse 23. Some of you guys have memorized this in your heart. Search me, O God, and know my thought. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This should be something we ask God every day. Not just once in a while, but every day. Keeping a short account with God is so important. Let's stand up and pray, and the man of communion board, come on down, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We're asking you to go with us. Let us have a short account with you and keep our heart in check all the time, so that the covetousness and the greed cannot seep into our heart. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.